Morning Air continues now on Relevant Radio with a look at our gospel for this Sunday, Good Shepherd Sunday, from John 10, verses 27 through 30. Joining us is Bishop Daniel Muggenberg from the Archdiocese of Seattle. Bishop Muggenberg, great to have you along as always.
Good to be here, Glenn.
Well, we can say maybe this gospel is short and sweet, but it's very meaty, even though on the short side.
Yes, it is. We only have four short verses from John's gospel today, chapter 10, 27 to 30. And yet in these four short verses where Jesus speaks to us as the Good Shepherd, he teaches us some very critical and important aspects of our lives as disciples.
Kind of qualifies us as if we are his sheep, we need to follow his voice.
Yes, he's pretty clear in this passage that being a member of the flock is not a passive action. It's not something that we just stumble into accidentally. It's an active response to hearing his voice and following him. And so when Jesus gives us that very simple description of discipleship as someone who hears and follows, that's instructive to us because it tells us that we need to create that space in our lives where we actually can hear the authentic voice of Jesus, always under the guidance of the Holy Spirit that helps us distinguish the voice of the Good Shepherd from the voices of the bad shepherds. But after we have heard the voice of Jesus, we then face the challenge of integrating in our lives the faith that we profess so that indeed we are following what Jesus is saying to us.
That instruction to follow, yet but a lot of comfort in these passages about eternal life and being held very tightly in our Lord's hand.
The promise of eternal life and the promise of protection by being held in the hand of the Father are both conditioned upon the presumption that we are both hearing and following the voice of Jesus. So we need to remember that because sometimes people tend to take our Lord's promise as an absolute guarantee. That somehow God has to give us the gift of eternal life, or God always ensures us of his absolute protection no matter what. We need to remember that Jesus has said these promises are given to those who hear me and who follow me. And with that, then, that is the source of our eternal life, that we are in communion with Jesus, that we know the one whom the Father has sent. And not only that, but the fact that we are choosing to remain in God, that we are not allowing ourselves to be tempted and to wander away from God's protective care. You know, God gives us the grace of his protection, but we also have free will, and we have to exercise our free will in such a way that we are remaining within that realm of grace where we can be protected by the Father's love.
Talking about Sunday's Gospel with Bishop Daniel Muggenberg, the Gospel for Good Shepherd Sunday. Now, I would bet with a nationwide audience of Relevant Radio, we have a shepherd or two in the audience, but probably not more than a shepherd or two in the audience. talk about what that analogy really meant for the folks when this was first written.
Well, the image of the shepherd is deeply rooted in the Old Testament. You know, we certainly have the passages from Ezekiel and other sections where God spoke about himself as the one who would become the shepherd for his people. And the image of shepherd, even in the New Testament, is used to refer to the leaders of the Christian community. And Jesus himself talks about his own shepherding of the sheep in various passages. And so the image of a shepherd, you know, is one that's important because the shepherd had the responsibility both to reconcile the sheep, to keep the flock together, as well as to protect and defend the flock from attacks from the outside. And elsewhere in this chapter of John's gospel, Jesus speaks about the wolves who will come and try to attack the flock, and about the hireling shepherds who have no interest in the sheep. They're only concerned about their own benefit, their own well-being. So Jesus uses the image of the good shepherd to distinguish himself, and therefore to also challenge all Christian leaders to distinguish themselves as people who embody those qualities of the good shepherd.
Bishop Muggenberg, let's talk a little bit about how vocations plays into Good Shepherd Sunday.
Well, this is a Sunday throughout the church and the world when we do call to mind and pray in a special way for vocations to the priesthood and to the religious life, but especially to those who will shepherd according to the heart of Christ, the Good Shepherd. And that's an important quality of our prayer, because when we pray for shepherds, we always need to pray for the right kinds of shepherds. You know, Jesus told us he's the good shepherd, but he never told us he's the only shepherd. And so it's very important that we are all striving to conform ourselves to that heart of Christ that will allow us to be a compassionate, a faithful, a courageous, and an exemplary shepherd for God's people. And the Lord will send to his church such shepherds to lead us.
What are some roles that the average Christian and Catholic can play day in and day out in kind of being a part of a shepherd to our fellow Catholics as well?
That's a very good question, because we all influence someone. And that means that in one way or another, we are all entrusted with the responsibility of being a good shepherd for somebody, whether it's parents for their children or people within our offices or even our own friends or members of our family. We affect their lives. And because of that, we have a shepherding role. I think one of the things that's important to always do is to stay attuned to the movement of the Holy Spirit. And we can only do that if we are cultivating in our lives an attitude of quiet, silent prayer, where we can actually become sensitive to hearing the inspiration of the Holy Spirit leading us to be an active member of Christ's body and a witness of Jesus in all of those different contexts throughout the day. And that's how we hear the Lord and how we follow him in a practical way, no matter what our state in life.
Bishop Muggenberg, always great to have your insight, especially during an important pledge drive week as well, when folks really think hard about how their faith ties into what they're listening to and how we can really help keep this voice of Relevant Radio on the air and herd other sheep as well. If you'd be so kind as to wrap us up with the blessing today.
The Lord be with you. And may the blessing of Almighty God, who sent his Son to reveal himself as the good shepherd for us and the good shepherd to us, always be with us to lead us and guide us throughout our daily lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Bishop Daniel Muggenberg, thank you. Five before the hour now, and time for today's Glenn Story Corner.
As we power on to the end of the pledge drive tomorrow, our story about finishing well. Our story today called They Sent Me to Finish. At the Olympic Games in Mexico City in 1968, the marathon is the final event on the program. The Olympic Stadium is packed. There's excitement as the first athlete and Ethiopian runner enters the stadium. The crowd erupts as he crosses the finish line. Way back, though, in the field is another runner, John Stephen Akwari of Tanzania. He's been eclipsed by the other runners. After 30 kilometers, his head is throbbing, his muscles are aching, and he falls to the ground. He has serious leg injuries, and officials want him to retire, but he refuses. With his knee bandaged, Akwari picks himself up and hobbles the remaining 12 kilometers to the finish line. An hour after the winner has finished, Akwari enters the stadium. All but a few thousand of the crowd have gone home. Akwari moves around the track at a painstakingly slow pace until he finally collapses over the finish line. It's one of the most heroic efforts of Olympic history. Afterward, asked by a reporter why he had not dropped out, Akwari said, "My country did not send me to start the race, they sent me to finish." Hebrews 12:1, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us."